Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome in. Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We're broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And Paul Kaharski in again today for Robbie Stanley. A full week. You know, what's a tougher task? You coming in here every day this week and having me bicker at you, or Robbie going to Disney World this many days in a row?
How little is she?
My goodness. So Allison is... She hasn't hit her second birthday? Okay, so she's close to two.
Like 18 months.
Close to two. Now,
that's a tough assignment.
Well, she was excited, I know, talking about, Minnie's house and stuff like that. So, like, there's some recognition, some excitement.
I automatically think of it, and I think of the child reaching exhaustion levels and how exhausting that is for the parent.
Right.
I think that's a far tougher assignment.
Yeah, and I've experienced that, like, because I've only done like the one day thing, you know, like I think all of our kids, maybe not the oldest, but definitely the younger two have done the Disney thing very young, like in the stroller type thing. And it's just like, yeah, it's like, you got to get out of here.
Our big trip, which was to California, Disneyland, was at peak age, like a peak age, like seven, maybe, when I was a Disney employee.
Right.
So we got in an hour early most of the time, and we're staying at Disney property,
going,
and we
maybe
did about 3 days, and it was tremendous.
Seven's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, they are, but I know they're also doing, by the way, they're doing like the Universal thing too, which is key, not just of the Disney properties. So, you know, you can stretch it out down there in Orlando. We have Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic talking draft later. Obviously, we're going to talk primarily NFL. I did want to start, though, on some college hoops. I mean, I haven't been taking advantage of the fact that Robbie's not here enough, you know? I mean, I'm deferring to you by not talking more college basketball. But,
I thought you wanted to hold the audience.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Every time on the text line, especially like if Vanderbilt wins a game, their text line is full of people like, why do you never talk about college basketball? You never talk about Vanderbilt. You never talk about the Vols. Now, both of those fan bases.
I watched the last 5 minutes of the Vols game. There's good reason not to talk about that game.
Yeah, that was a bad loss. They both lost. Vanderbilt showed some fight, but Auburn is the best team in college basketball. Showed again why last night. Tennessee is a much better team than Kentucky this year, and Tennessee, you know, still in the mix to be a number one seed. Kentucky is really not a good defensive team, but for whatever reason, it's just a bad matchup. Kentucky can actually guard Tennessee, so they swept them. And I don't know off the top of my head, but it's Rick Barnes does not get swept by Kentucky. It doesn't happen. And it's really weird that this is the Kentucky team that sweeps him. Now, granted, he had a little bit of an edge on Calipari. I mean, he just, like, especially in Lexington, he had several wins in Lexington. So, very disappointing result for Tennessee last night. Tie game. Missed all their shots late. Kentucky's best player, not best player, best shooter, but probably the best shooter in college basketball. They let him get shots, and he hit two of them. And so, that's the game. So, Tennessee, you know, nowhere near the SEC championship race at 7-5, still right there. And they're at 20-5 to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. But disappointing result. Vanderbilt 80-68 loss. And you know, Vanderbilt still at 17-7-5-6. They're still on course. I think they're going to get in, which is a huge development, completely unexpected. If they can do it, You know, the problem with the SEC, and this is, by the way, PK, again, talking about a sport that I don't think you follow very closely, but this is, the SEC is the best conference I've ever seen in college basketball, this year's SEC. I've never seen anything like this. They have a chance to get 14 teams in the NCAA tournament, and it's just, it really is amazing night after night, the quality of the basketball. So,
it's too many teams, no matter how good your conference is, I think.
Well, I mean, that football is screwed. Yeah, football screwed everything up, so that all these conferences are too big. So, from that perspective, yeah, I mean, it's weird and it's not ideal and everything is about football. But, like, it's the quality with that quantity. I mean, again, they have 16 teams. 14 of them are legitimate NCAA hopefuls. And the other two, you know, I mean, they're not great, but, like, they have some talent. They're decent teams. But, you know, they have four teams that could be number one seeds, which has never happened before the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, Tennessee losing to Kentucky last night is one of the reasons that, you know, it probably isn't going to happen. There's going to be some upsets. But four teams, all four teams as a number one seed, never happened before. And it's,
that'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah.
You've had three, right? Big East back in the day had three.
The Big East had three in 2009.
In the glory days of basketball.
That was the glory days, 2009?
Oh, absolutely. Well, no, but earlier than that, 80s. Wasn't like Georgetown, St. John's.
Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. The old Big East. Yeah, I mean, yeah. So in 89, that's what's funny, too, is it's like it was three number one seeds. So that was UConn. That was, I think, Pittsburgh, although Villanova made the Final Four. Do you know the other team that was the number one seed from the Big East?
This is in 89?
09.
09. Georgetown. Sorry, say again.
Not George. It was UConn.
UConn, Pitt. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to guess.
Louisville, which is now an ACC team. That's you know, that's so to me, I'm with you. The old Big East, when it was Syracuse and it was John Thompson and Jim Boeheim, and I mean, those were, I mean, Rick Pitino at Providence. You know, and then, of course, Jim Calhoun at UConn. Those were definitely glory days. 2019, ACC also had it, too. So let me ask you this. Other than the NFL, what sport, like, of all, if you basically crap on all the other sports other than soccer, other than European soccer, which you love. Where does college basketball come in for you on the – on the pecking order of sports that you
hate? I like March Madness. Look, it don't make it like it's me. I mean, I'm not unlike America. You think most of America is following college basketball right now. You're mistaken. And we were talking about this the other day. How are your hits doing at The Athletic for college basketball compared to other thing you write?
They don't do as well as college football.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Of what America's into. That's not like some glitch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're still talking about millions of people watch college basketball games. So, yeah. You know, right.
As opposed of hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I understand. Like, we already have established that the NFL is the most popular. That's not what I'm asking. I'm not asking you to tell me what's the most popular. I'm asking you where you're – like, you don't have to tell me, no one watches this stuff. You know, just tell me what you think.
Yeah, for me – I watch the NFL in a different way, professionally. My second thing and my personal favorite is baseball, but not the league. I think, and people really downgrade baseball. I think baseball, city. I love baseball. I love Yankees baseball. I watch Yankees baseball, you know, 3 out of 4 nights. The games are on a little bit early here, so 6 o'clock start. You know, I might not be done with my stuff until 7:30, so I'm only catching, last 3 innings. But it's on pretty much nightly in my house. Now, if it turns into a total crap game, you know, I might move on or whatever. Or a certain night, I might not be in the mood for it. But Yankees are a regular thing for me, so that's. Very constant. And I think baseball gets a bad rap in terms of viewership in that, no, people don't follow the league. But if you go to Milwaukee, what's the number one rated show in Milwaukee on a nightly basis? The Brewers. What's the number one rated show in Kansas City on a nightly basis? The Royals. Yeah. More people are watching the Royals game in Kansas City on a given night than anything else.
Right, but you
which
see,
is still a huge thing. It's right. different than the NFL for sure.
But see, you can play the exact same game with college basketball. Go to Kansas and tell me the ratings of Kansas basketball. Right.
Well, I mean, Kansas, but not in every market.
No, but I mean, in the Big Ten, and now I mean, it's interesting in the SEC. You know, you got buildings that are 15,000-20,000 people that are full, that are the best environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, the environment of a college basketball game is still the most home benefiting sports atmosphere that we have.
Yeah, but I would argue that college basketball has done far more to hurt itself with the – I mean, you just don't know who's on the team. It's a different team every year. There's no sustainability. In baseball, as much as it's done to hurt itself, most guys are there for 3 or 4 years. Most guys have a guy
right.
who's the linchpin of the team for 8 years. So you know who you're going to see. College basketball became impossible to keep up with who's on it. I'm not invested in it at all. This goes back to our like fan rooting thing. Like you can't pick a favorite player and stick with him because he's never there for 3 years.
Yeah, but – well, the funny thing about that is that actually, depending on the program, you know, that really goes back to one and done, right?
Yeah.
It goes back to
– I think it ruined itself with one and done.
Kids not being able to just go to the NBA because the NBA was sick of kids coming in and be like, oh, wait, this guy can't play at all, and we just spent the number 8 pick on him. So the NBA puts that rule in, which, you know, some programs benefited. But I would actually argue if you look around, there's actually more – people staying because they can get paid now. So, you know, there is that element of it. I mean,
it's going to take some time for that to
I mean, you know, like can't like
take hold
like
and
Hunter Dickinson
back.
You're seeing some of it, you know. You're seeing some of these guys. I mean, Jani Broome. He's going to be college player of the year, his third year at Auburn. You know, in the past he's in the NBA. He goes in, but he can make good money. He's not a lock first round pick, so it's like you're not getting the guaranteed contract. Okay, I'll come back. I'll play college basketball through my eligibility. Get paid well, and so now Auburn fans have a third straight year of cheering for them. So there is, in some way, because of all this stuff, it's actually changing for the better in that way. But I hear what you're saying. College sports, you know, you still, like, you're 4 years max anyway, and that's if someone's good as a freshman, right?
Yeah. I still, like most people, get into March Madness. Maybe it's a little less than it used to be, but it's good TV. You know, there's a lot of edge-of-your-seat games. And a lot of teams coming out of nowhere. It's the number one thing for, you know, stories from nowhere. And I'll take stories from nowhere. You know, St. Peter's, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, I'm like most people, I like that. And it's also good for throwing, you know, $5 on this and that. It's probably the best betting thing.
Beyond just the bracket?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do a bracket, but you also, like, you know, sit down at the beginning of that Thursday and say, all right, I'm going to parlay these three, see if I can't hit some crazy home run.
Right. Okay, so.
And generally, in terms of sports, I like space, right? I feel like hockey, there's only so many things that can happen in the tight space. I love Olympic hockey because there's more space. Basketball, there's not enough space. So I prefer football, baseball, soccer, outdoor things where there's a lot more space for creativity and people to run into space.
Interesting. Okay. So you would be a big Quidditch fan then?
I'm not into
flying
Harry
around the
Potter
sky.
That's a lot of space up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so you're a Quidditch guy. Okay. That's very interesting. More space is the better. We've gotten to something. Texter says, PK is getting so defensive because you asked him what his second favorite sport is. Calm down, Chief.
I'm not defensive.
It is funny. I mean, you're exactly right about baseball, but that's depends on what market you're talking about, you know, when it comes to college hoops or other sports like that, too. I mean, there are some areas where there's nothing more important, right?
Well, I just think people are, like, so hell-bent on the NFL as the TV monster.
Right.
Well, obviously the NFL is a TV monster, but I think MLB, and I know MLB is having problems in certain markets. It should work in every market. It should work. I mean, unless you're perennially bad, I don't know who that is now, Miami Marlins or whatever – But unless you're perennially bad, I think people watch baseball the same way you're talking about college basketball. I mean, I think sports on TV should still work. It's just different. It's not national. It's local.
Yeah. And again, if you're going to compare anything to the NFL, then it's going to look like it's failing. But, you know.
It's a different model.
Yeah. And, you know, another sport that's gone, that's absolutely, you know, accelerating is women, you know, WNBA and women's college basketball, which is great to see. All right. We've got, something going on with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers that made me wonder if something like that might happen here. We'll get into that next. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. Hit us up on the game phone. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. Also, I will try to mine the YouTube chat today. I got to make sure. Did you tweet out the YouTube chat, Keezer? That's what I need. There it is. Then I can click on it, and then, you know, we can get into that discussion too. So
you're working that cough button.
Yeah. Right.
Like a magician.
Thank you. So you've got Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. We know that they met, I guess, last week, right? They met last week. Aaron Rodgers, I guess I took it like Aaron Rodgers was informed. Thanks, but no thanks. You know, we appreciate it. Oh, there you go. I go to the YouTube chat, and I don't have it muted, so now I can play.
Good job on you.
Delayed me
I didn't
on
either.
The show.
I didn't either.
So then my colleague Diana Rossini comes out with something. I find this just fantastic. I love this also.
I think we're both going to love this story.
Yeah. This came out yesterday. I want to make sure I read this word for word. So basically, it sounds like they gave him a condition, although I still wonder, like, if he would have said, okay, then all's well, or is that just like a condition they know he's going to say no to? But regardless, again, this is Diana Rossini at The Athletic reporting that the team did present Rodgers with a potential plan to move forward with him as their quarterback.
Well, there's your answer. Potential plan to move forward. So say yes to this stuff and we'll continue to talk about moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, right. I'd love to see the alternative timeline of him saying, okay. And then them saying, oh, crap, well, I thought you were going to say no. Yeah. But anyway, continuing to quote, it included stipulations about outside media work during the season and a requirement that he attend all mandatory offseason workouts, according to team and league sources. And again, later, specifically these conditions, quote, Rodgers would no longer be permitted to make outside media appearances during the season, including his regular paid appearances on the Pat McAfee Show. And then the mandatory practices, for people who don't remember, He had the trip to Egypt, so he, you know, missed a couple of mini camp practices last year for his pre-scheduled trip to Egypt. But that McAfee and media stuff is fascinating to me. I would just love to know, I'd love to be able to be a fly in the room when that message is delivered to him, and then to see his reaction and how he responded to it.
You can imagine the look on his face and the eye roll. I mean, that's what I'm imagining. Now, usually I'd be horrified by this idea of them restricting his media. This is how big a distraction he was to the team with this outside media stuff and how much it was 52 plus one as opposed to 53. The idea that he's put off by the necessity to be at mandatory practices. I mean, think of what a separatist he is. This was Roger Clemens not having to travel with the team that I was incredibly put off by with the Yankees. I don't want anything to do with a guy that is so separate of the team. And it's incredibly unhealthy, and this is Aaron Glenn saying as much, to have a guy who's got a different set of rules from the rest of the team. A guy at the most important position who needs to, all of these quarterbacks could conceivably push the envelope with stuff like this, and they intentionally don't. They intentionally are the earliest at the facility and the latest at the facility and fulfill their media obligations and are at, a lot of them, not just the mandatory stuff, but some of them at the non-mandatory stuff, especially during culture-building times when the new coach is there. Derrick Henry wasn't at non-mandatory stuff for the Titans, but guess what happened when the new coordinator took over, when Tim Kelly took over? He showed up, and we said, hey, why are you here? You're usually not here. And he said, it's a new offense. I got to be here to learn a new offense. That's a totally different message than, hey, look at this picture on Instagram of me at the pyramids while you guys are working.
Yeah. Now, I don't know some of the things you said there. I don't know that that's anti-Rodgers. Is Rodgers not – I mean, has he never been an early show-up, late-leave guy?
No, I'm saying maybe you're doing that stuff on the days that you're there, but isn't it offset by the fact that you're in Egypt for 2 days of mandatory stuff?
Yeah.
Mandatory means mandatory. The guy who's not there for mandatory is a pariah. The other guys who aren't there, you say, oh, it's okay, our quarterback's not here, but this third-string left tackle who's dumb enough to stay away because he thinks he's getting something out of working with his trainer, we're all down on him. Everybody's bad-mouthing him. Oh, but at the same time, we're saying Aaron's our great leader. I mean, it just sets up all kinds of double standards. It's not healthy for any kind of locker room.
Yeah.
And it's fine if you're doing McAfee, unless you're talking about the offensive coordinator's calling terrible plays. Or, I mean, he's saying divisive stuff on there.
Well, yeah, the whole league awaited his, that interview, right? I mean, it was like, so I mean, basically, like the state of the Jets, a big portion of it would be delivered on that show by him and his mindset. No, I mean, I totally get it. My question moving forward is, so let's say you're the Tennessee Titans and you are considering him. I mean, I think you have to be. He has to be on a relatively short list of possibilities for you at quarterback next year. The Tennessee Titans come with a similar, mandate. Is Aaron Rodgers just completely out? I mean, do other teams have the guts to do that?
I think the precedent's been set now. If he comes here and you let him go to wherever his next trip is, Beijing.
Why is he scheduling these trips? Like what? He has months.
He's got a very, very packed schedule.
He has months in which he can go to anywhere.
So if he
schedules it during minicamp.
I don't think he's coming here. I'm putting that on the record. But if you let him go to the Great Wall of China during mandatory practices and you let him go on McAfee, don't you look like a spineless, weak team? Don't you look like you don't have the same priorities that the New York Jets do? If he came here and did that, that'd be one of the first things I wrote. They don't have the standards the Jets have. The lowly Jets.
Yeah.
And now, terrible Jets.
Now it is
one of the
coach.
Worst franchises. One of the franchises you could say is worse than you, who's got a grandson who's making personnel decisions based on Madden, and you've got lower standards for your quarterback than that team.
Yeah, we got some thoughts on that. Similar to that, we will get to when we come back. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Show, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Also, we'll be giving away a family four-pack of tickets to Athletes Unlimited later. So be ready for that, probably in the 8 o'clock hour. So we're talking Aaron Rodgers and the stipulations the Jets put on him. Ed, you and Ed may not agree on fandom, but
I think Ed came to a good spot with me after I clarified.
We're all okay? Okay. But he says, if Rodgers was put up by those stipulations, don't know how the Titans bring him in, without looking weak. And so, but again, it's like bring him in, and then, I mean, I think you're right. It's like this is now, and that is Aaron Glenn, by the way. I mean, that's what I would trace it to, right? They have a new head coach, a guy who comes from a good culture, and a guy who was a great player there, and good for him. I mean, I don't know if you saw like the first Aaron Glenn presser, but he got asked like 12 different times, is Aaron Rodgers gonna be your quarterback? And he was just like, I don't know, guys, but I think that's a fair point. Like, how do you not have the same conditions? And if you don't, what does that say about you? And how is he going to react to that, you know? I mean, how important is the McAfee appearance to him? He seems to really enjoy it. It gives him a big microphone to just, you know.
And it's lucrative. I mean,
sure.
You know, he's making $1 million a year, I think, or something like that.
He's getting the annual payout on that is $1 million. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, that which isn't big money to
for him
in context.
That's a little bit of a drop in the bucket, but yeah, still. Sure. It's easy money.
I mean, he clearly likes being out there and the attention that brings him. And then it allows him to say nothing of consequence at his weekly press session with his local media.
Yeah, Jared on the YouTube chat says, can't wait for him to refute the reports on McAfee this week. Well done. Well yeah. done.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is you wonder, how much of a deterrent is it? You know, let's just we mostly talk about Aaron Rodgers and the obviously what matters the most. How is he as a player? I mean, I don't think anybody has the illusion that Aaron Rodgers is going to come and be like the guy you were talking about earlier, you know, the culture setter, right? That's just not what he is. He's a very talented guy who ideally can help you win football games because he's really good at playing quarterback. But how much, you know, the distraction element, how much does that hurt him? How much does that possibly limit him, you know, maybe limit him to something like this place as a starting option?
I don't like him really as I don't know. Let's look at it this way. If you erase all of the nonsense, this stuff that the Jets wanted to limit, and I'm probably going to ask for specific personnel people, and just put him out there as, a very old quarterback with limitations who can still, you know, obviously make some throws and do a very old version of Aaron Rodgers, the football player, then I think he's got, you know, he would rise on this board of potential older, bridgy quarterbacks. I don't know how highly I'd rank him. It certainly would move up without all of that stuff. Certainly would move up.
Sure.
But I don't think you can remove that stuff. I mean, well, he's clearly scoffed at these two demands.
Right.
Which is just tells you everything you need to know to me.
So you have not winning, you have an Achilles, you have pretty good numbers. You don't have many winning plays, though, or drives this year, right? Obviously. I mean, when I watch them, I feel like every time I watch the Jets, he was coming up just short on, like, a late drive. Though those drives that he used to –
big third down.
Yeah, those drives that he used to, you know, always complete when he was great.
And that team was reasonably talented. I mean, people were picking the Jets as a playoff team last year.
I did.
Before he got hurt
right.
very quickly in the first game, and this year with him back. It was not a terrible roster by any means.
So he
didn't deliver what was expected of him. His numbers weren't bad, but like you're saying, situationally he wasn't very good.
Well, and then how much of the underachieving relative to the talent level do you put on him? Obviously Saleh gets blamed. The whole organization's a bleep show, independent of Rodgers. We know this.
Right? Coach fired, GM fired.
Yeah, but in all the ownership crap, I mean, that's not Rodgers. But, I mean, you know, how much of what he does or doesn't do just makes a team worse? You know, I don't know. I mean, obviously the Packers had great teams not that long ago. Now they didn't, you know, he couldn't beat Brady in the NFC title game, but they had some great teams not that long ago, and he was kind of in this stuff, doing stuff like this, right? But also he'd grown up with that team too, so I think you got long term relationships in a locker room with a guy, right? So again, it's like he's trying to bring his guys with him to the Jets, and you know, wherever he goes, I'm sure he's going to hope that, like, you know, Devontae and Lazard will come with him there. But then you go to a new place and everybody's like, what the hell's up with this dude, right? And again, to me, that all adds up to buyer beware on this guy.
And he's 41. Like, you know, we're talking about some other guys that are 36, 37. I think, you know, 36, 37, there are guys who play 36, 37. You get to 41, that's exponential. I think those years start to have exponential effect on your physical downfall.
Yeah, there aren't many examples of guys playing at a high level there. Obviously, Brady's, you know, the exception. Brady did some extreme stuff and continues to with the Botox. Let's see.
Wow, his face. A lot of commentary on his face.
It freaks me out, especially when you know, people put on, like, Twitter. They put, like, the comparison pics of, like, when he was 20 years younger.
Is it necessary? Like, he was a very handsome man. Just age handsomely.
Just accept your age. Exactly. Brian Y on the text line says, which is worse, looking weak or not winning? As a Bears fan, I hate Rodgers, but I also know he's inherently better than anything they had on the roster last year, even at his age. Would you like
games.
To trade him for Caleb Williams?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, they won five games. So, looking weak and not winning. Right. It wasn't like one or the other, looking weak or winning. Now, the Jets have to go find an alternative. But at a certain point, you say, well, it's time for us to go do what's next.
So Richard Snyder on the YouTube chat says, second-year head coach, the second-year OC probably can't handle Rodgers in any meaningful way. I mean, I am imagining.
Yeah, he's the boss.
I'm imagining like Nick Holtz saying, hey, Aaron, sit down and let me show you this, man. Look at what you screwed up here, you know? And yeah, obviously Callahan. I think that, you know, that actually brings me to a thought on the coaching staff, PK, that I would like to get your thoughts on. And when we come back, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Talking a little Aaron Rodgers, but I thought Richard Snyder's point here, PK, was a good one. And you know, I was thinking about this recently. And maybe I'm not trying to like blame all of national media or even blame you. Maybe you made a bigger deal out of it than I realize. But I do feel like here on this program, I can just speak for this program. I don't know that enough was made of, you know, the Titans hire Brian Callahan and the first year head coach, the first year OC, the first year DC, the first year special teams coach come in together and try to win football games.
Oh, absolutely enough wasn't made in hindsight.
And like I look back and I'm like, I mean, we certainly talked.
And a second year GM.
Yeah, we certainly talked about it. But
and a first year president of operations.
Right. Like that should have been more of a red flag, right? Like
absolutely.
Should have been more of a red flag. Like someone in one of these spots needs to be a seasoned veteran who has some skins on the wall, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think their thinking was that most first-year head coaches have a experienced guy.
It isn't their side of the ball, right?
Even Fisher, as he got more experienced, always had a Gunther Cunningham, a Dave McGinnis type of guy around.
I mean, Vrabel gets Dean Pees right out of retirement.
Yes.
Right? For example.
But I do think – I don't think they ignored that entirely in that Bill Callahan – yes, he's a dad, but he's a guy with significant head coaching experience and is a generation older. So he's the
– he was the gray beard.
Of the staff. But, yeah, in hindsight, they had far too little experience. And there was a lot of conversation about all that they learned in that first month. And I wrote numerous times about this is too slow. They're Brian's talking about discovering things about Calvin Ridley 6 weeks into the season that he needs to know 2 weeks into the season that he needs to know at the end of camp. You don't get an allowance period to learn your team at the start. Or if you do, then you better be looking back at the season saying, boy, he really learned Calvin Ridley and this team – from the first 6 weeks is unrecognizable in the last 6 weeks because it's gotten so much better. We didn't see that at all. The team at the end of the season was every bit as bad as the team at the beginning of the season. I mean, newness was a disastrous
formula.
Ridley
got better. I mean, if you want to just isolate him.
But in terms of the team, there was no team growth.
So were you surprised that – and obviously they did address special teams. So they addressed special teams with a proven coach. But are you surprised that there wasn't a push? I guess, a push to maybe change a coordinator. And does that – the fact that there wasn't, that there's no change, does that tell you anything?
That tells me that they are unified in the patience thing and the growth mindset. Now, if you want to be cynical, and we'll hear this at 2 o'clock, that means they're just going to fire them all anyway. And so let Callahan have what he wants. And when they're 2-6, they'll fire the head coach and promote Denard or Bill and they'll be all swept out at the end of the season, and Brinker and Borgonzi will bring in their man.
Okay, well you ripped Stilley there, and I understand that the way you framed it is that's the dramatic. But I will say, is there not somewhere in between where it's like we're not sure about Brian? So do we want to pay for a proven coordinator when it is possible that this tenure is a 2-year tenure?
I think there's a
little bit less dramatic than the way you framed it. I don't think that that's a crazy thought.
No, it's not a crazy thought. I do think, almost all of the time when people say you can't get somebody here, it's false. Because money talks and everything. I think this is a period in time where it is difficult to get people here. I've talked about
veteran
quarterbacks. Well, yeah. You come in to help set a culture. Last year, it's one thing to be part of a new thing. This year, you're coming in to a short-leashed coach who has a terrible track record already, and he's maybe a one-year coach, and what are you coming into?
Right.
And now, if you were in the market, which they weren't, for a new coordinator on one side of the ball or the other, what is he coming into? The most attractive thing there is that you might be an interim and a candidate to be the next head coach.
Yeah. I mean, you can get a 2-year deal,
Right. There's a lot more job security on these new staffs around the league or for teams that are switching coordinators. Some of them being surprises, right? I mean, Cincinnati had a new defensive coordinator spot open because they had such a bad defensive season. Houston had an offensive coordinator spot open that was a big surprise to most people a year after that. Those are good jobs.
Those are two guys, by the way, who, if you're the Titans – maybe it would have been
and
worth looking at.
Maybe yeah, it's right. Worth looking at. But why would he come here?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's part of the bind they're in. It's a coach. It's not just a player thing. It's a coach and a player thing.
And the reasons that you liked Denard Wilson last year, much the same way the reasons that you liked Brian Callahan last year, if you're taking a 30,000-foot view, still apply. I don't think Denard Wilson did a great job. The defensive backfield, which is his specialty, did play pretty well. He had no pass rushers.
They didn't
the
have
defense
their corner.
Was hurt terribly. And, if you're saying – all the reasons you're saying give Callahan a second year are reasons to say give Wilson a second year.
Well, that's the thing, too. Yeah, I am not sitting here thinking it's hopeless for either of those guys, for Brian Callahan or Denard Wilson. I think I could see both of them doing well. It's just sometimes in this league, your opportunity goes sour, and then when's the next one, right?
But I don't
come away from last year. I know some Titans fans disagree with this. I don't come away from last year thinking that those Callahan and Wilson don't have a clue or are bad coaches. I think mostly they had a bad roster, but they're also on the clock right now.
Yes, And they need player development. And Brinker and Borgonzi, I think, talked about young players getting on the field fast. You know, I've been looking at more of these draft guys. I've got a James Foster piece going up here in 10 minutes that looks very
7:04?
Very thoroughly. Well, during the next break.
I wanted it right
it's actually,
at 7.
It's actually up.
I want it
just haven't,
at 7 a.m.
It's actually up. I just haven't tweeted it out.
Oh, okay.
That looks very thoroughly at right tackle, edge, and receiver, you know, day one, day two, day three. Well, you look at the guys after, you know, this is typical in a draft. You look at the guys after the first batch, and there's something wrong with all of them or a developmental thing that needs to happen. Well, they need to quick develop some of these guys that are going to be on the field early and get, you know, well, here's a guy, here's a right tackle who was a great run blocker who played in a system that didn't ask him to pass block a lot. He looked like a promising pass blocker, but he only played, you know, 340 pass block snaps. Can Bill Callahan get him out there if you draft a guy like this? Everybody's got a story like this is what I'm saying. Can the Titans get guys like this on the field and turn them into productive NFL players soon? That's the kind of thing that they are going to be challenged to do and without excuses. In terms of Callahan and Wilson and all those guys, for me, maybe the biggest story about the Titans offseason outside of player acquisition, and I talked to Callahan about this some, and I will check in on it multiple times. He needs to break himself down in a big way and build himself back up in terms of what his failures were, why things didn't work, why it was slow, and build himself back up in a very thorough way without any pride and with a ton of humility. Is he capable of that based on what we know about him? I think yes. Is he smart enough to do that? Yes. I mean, five teams wanted him last year. Two of them wanted him back. Atlanta and Carolina were probably going to hire him if the Titans didn't. That doesn't all go away with one crap year.
Right. And the James Foster info, that's good. That's good preparation for our next guest. We're going to have Nick Baumgartner on next. Talk a little NFL draft. Robbie Rexler, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.